everybody. Nice to see you. Welcome to the Midweek Message. I'd rather be doing this in front of a room full of people. I'm not very good with this recording malarkey. And Hannah, I'm trying ever so well to not to get reflections on my glasses. But anyway, guys, I know you'll put up with it. So we miss you. Just a little catch up from the Montotos. Ethan and I have been in lockdown together since March. We've had a really good time. We've made it fun. Lots of doggy walking, lots of Zoom like everybody else, lots of jobs around the house. Ethan's learnt to cook and he's also had lots of schoolwork to do, which has very much interrupted with his Xbox activities. But we've had a really good time and we've been really blessed through it. I've not been able to work because my job as an orthoptist, which involves testing eyes mainly, it hasn't been possible to do that. And also I've not been able to have my foster children to come and stay, but it has allowed me to have lots of time on my hands, which has been really nice actually. So we've been enjoying ourselves. We've only had one big fight, I think, and that was to do with who was going to do the jet washing. And that's because it was such fun and it's so satisfying jet washing a patio that we were fighting over who was going to do it. But that's the worst it's been, thank the Lord. I do appreciate it's not been that way for everybody. Instant loneliness for some people. Entertaining little ones. Being plunged into massive changes in finances and ways we live our life and ways we do our jobs. And homeschooling, I'm really, really grateful I didn't have to do any homeschooling. And I take my hat off to you guys who've had to do that. So as I'm speaking, my faithful, gorgeous black Labrador is squashed on my feet, pressed up against my legs. This is her favourite place. And that's where she likes to exist. And she pretends to be asleep, but she's actually on high alert, hoping that some morsels of food might come her way. So why am I talking about my dog, you might well ask. And the reason is I'm hoping it will become relevant as this progresses over the next few minutes. Because I've learned so much actually about my relationship with God since having a dog as part of our family. And Steve Tiley once lent me a book called Lessons Learned from a Sheepdog. And it's a beautiful book and it does show how we can learn lessons from animals. But anyway, I'm not here really to talk about animals specifically. Did you notice when lockdown started, we were suddenly subjected to a load of buzzwords and buzz phrases like exponential growth and unprecedented times and the R number? Sorry, Tim, I know you used that one in your message. Protect the NHS. I think in the Christian world, the thing that popped up straight away and it's not such a bad thing, was Psalm 91. We were all clinging on to Psalm 91 because it was speaking of how we'd be protected and safe from harm. And I just wanted to go back to verse 1 of that psalm today because there's so much truth in it. And that can be really helpful for us as we come out of lockdown, knowing that we are under God's protection. I do like for this particular psalm, the King James Version, because it talks about dwelling in the secret place. So Psalm 91 verse 1 says, "He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shelter of the Almighty." That's a pretty good version. And that's a whole series of Bible studies just in that phrase or sentence, really. But it did amaze me early on in the pandemic how suddenly everything that we've regarded as constant and took for granted in our lives just was instantly gone. Like going to work and going to school, our hobbies, seeing our friends and family, even attending appointments and picking up a prescription suddenly became very complicated. Accessing our money, or even just pop into the shops, was no longer possible. It just became very difficult. And it's like every crutch had suddenly been knocked away from under us and everything was now different or more difficult. The upside of that time for me was suddenly having time on my hands again. It allowed me to do something which I actually love to do and don't do enough of, and that's spending time in the secret place with God. So what do I mean by that? When I first became a Christian, I was taught that I needed to have a quiet time with God every day. As a teenager, that didn't sound very appealing, especially coming from the people that would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. So if I'm honest, it was a bit daunting, really, the thought of a quiet time. But I've since learned to cultivate the habit, and I actually really love now just setting myself apart and spending time with God. But it's often far from quiet as well. But the principle is to set some time aside regularly to read the Bible, to pray, to worship, and just to enjoy being in fellowship with God. So that all sounds very spiritual and noble, and that's really not what I am for an awful lot of the time. And if you don't believe me, which I'm sure you do, but if you don't believe me, you can ask my son what I'm really like. So I thought I would share my gold standard experience when it goes really well. And then I thought I would share my more usual experience when it doesn't go so well, and just hopefully encourage us to just get into that place with God every day if we can. So the gold standard Jill secret place experience would be, I go to my lovely bedroom, my sanctuary. I'm armed with my Bible, my musical instruments. I've got my playlists set up. I've got YouTube on my phone. And I just begin to talk to God, and I just thank him, first of all, for all the blessings that he's brought into my life and everything he does for me. This can turn into songs of love, songs of worship, declarations of victory. I'd be dancing around my bedroom with my hairbrush, sometimes sitting in silence so that I can actually hear God speaking back to me. One particularly scary, in a way, experience that springs out when I was really in the presence of God and had cream walls on in the room I was in, and God pictorially showed me how I'd been behaving, and I could actually see on the wall what my behaviour had been like. So my secret place became a place of repentance and, you know, praying for God's forgiveness and for God's grace to change and not to behave like that anymore. And those are the kind of things that God will do if we invite him to do that. He will change us in his presence. And wow, I come out of my secret place and I feel like Superwoman. And I've got that ready breath glow all around me, and I can just take on the world. Why is it my safe and happy place? For me, it reminds me of my dad. And as a child, sitting on my father's lap with my father's arms around me and knowing I was loved and protected and things could be sorted out that were troubling me. And that's why it's a very special place to me. And I do know how blessed I was. I know how blessed I was to have such a good father. And I know that hasn't been everybody's experience in life. And I'm just thankful that we do have a Heavenly Father that loves us in a perfect way. But that's why the secret place for me is a special place, because my own dad taught me how to be positioned like that. So back to the secret place, the other end of the spectrum. It's time for my quiet time. So I go to my lovely bedroom. I go to my sanctuary. I close the door. And then I see that pile of washing over there that needs to be put away. So maybe I'll just quickly do that first. But no, what I will do, because I want to be spiritual, I'll listen to Joyce Meyer on YouTube, and then I can listen to that while I'm tidying up my room. So I go to my phone and I look for something on YouTube, a little bit like a lucky dip. I'll pick this sermon. That's the one I fancy listening to today. Oh, but something's popped up. Look. It's a Wimbledon replay. Oh, I'd love to watch that match again. Jimmy Connors against Borg. Oh, I really need to watch that. I think I should do that first in case it disappears off YouTube, as if that would happen. And those are the kind of things that happen to me. I'm full of good intentions. I want to go and spend time with God, and everything will come into my focus to distract me. My phone might ring. There'll be a ping of a notification, which I desperately must look at straight away. And all those things, you know, come into our vision just to stop us from doing what we want to do. And of course, the devil will want to distract us, obviously, from sitting at the feet of Jesus. So I get frustrated then, and then I start complaining to God instead of praising God. And to be honest, my secret place for the day is abandoned. And that's kind of the worst end of the spectrum. The reality is, as I've learned to sort of discipline myself, is somewhere between my gold standard and that thing I've just described. But, you know, it doesn't always work out. When I became a mum, I'm just going to look at my notes because I don't want to forget anything. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say, there's nothing wrong, by the way, in watching TV preachers. I do it loads, and I've really enjoyed, actually, in lockdown, discovering new ministries that I wouldn't normally listen to and listening to different music in lockdown. But that is never, never the same as setting aside time just to be me and God. And coming into the secret place is a discipline. And thankfully, I do have time now at the moment to practice this more. I've learned to take a notebook and a pen. And that's not just to be spiritual and to have spiritual revelations, but it's to jot down those things that pop into my mind to distract me so I can relax then, knowing that I'll get to them later and that I can watch that Wimbledon match at some time later on, but I should put God first. When I became a mum, I lost the ability to do this for a while because my world was consumed with this small person that demanded all of my attention and sapped all of my energy, that I just didn't have time to do anything for myself, really. And it took a long time for me to get myself together when I became a mum for the first time. At that point in time, my secret place became my bathtub. Not ideal, but it was a place where I could just close the door, relax, have a bit of silence and just, you know, focus on God and talk to God. So I guess what I'm saying is the secret place is not the same for everybody. We're not all 4 a.m. people. We're not all sitting in the bedroom people. We recently hired a hot tub for a week for Ethan's birthday, and that became my secret place because every morning before he surfaced from his bedroom and the sun was shining, we were blessed with lovely weather, and that became my secret place. And it's whatever works for the individual, because I do recognise, again, particularly, you know, when you've got little ones running around and demanding all of your time and attention, this is not a very easy thing to do. So this brings me back to my dog. Alex asked me if I would talk about worship in this session. So if you picture the scene now, I've got Jet sat at my feet, squashing my feet, licking my leg. Every now and again, she'll turn her head up to me, and she's got these adoring big brown eyes, and I just know she loves me. I'm her favourite thing in the whole world. And my feet do seem to be her secret place. She's content there because she knows that she's going to be looked after. She knows she'll be fed. She knows that she is safe and she'll be kept safe and warm. Trust me, she is not worrying about tomorrow, and she's not worrying if her food bowl is going to be filled twice a day. And she knows that she's loved. And she also knows that after we've eaten our evening meal, she gets extra treats. And sometimes throughout the day, she gets extra treats, even if she doesn't deserve them. Are you getting the connection? There's a Greek word which describes this picture, and it's proskuneo or proskuneo. I'm not sure how to pronounce it properly, but according to Strong's Concordance, it means to kiss, or like a dog licking its master's hand, and to lie down in homage or homage, to give reverence to and to give adoration to. So I don't want you to think I'm comparing us to God, to dogs, But I am just trying to paint a picture, again, that we can learn a lot from animals. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, we are told to consider the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth more than this? So God is telling us that we are worth more than the animals, but we can learn from them because we don't need to worry. And I'm just feeling that maybe, you know, God wants this message to be speaking to people that might be anxious about tomorrow, might be anxious about what's going to happen when we come out of lockdown. There's some really scary stuff going around with, will I get my job back? How will we pay the bills? How am I going to pay the debts that I've accumulated during lockdown? But we are God's chosen people. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he will look after us. So as we come out of lockdown and we're not really sure of how the future's going to pan out, would you join me learning to dwell in the secret place? There will be no better place for us to be at the moment. It's a safe place where we can be reminded not to be afraid of the future, because our good Father will protect us and he will speak to us, he will guide us, and he will supply everything we need because he loves us so much. So thank you so much for giving me your time. We miss you all hugely, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you all really soon. Thanks, guys. Love you. Bye.